I always used to think that the more keys a person had, the more important they were. Gee, they can open all sorts of doors. And because they can open lots of doors, they have access to all sorts of different places. There are some people who have so many keys that they can't even carry them in their pocket. They have to wear them on a ring or on their belt. But I can get into lots of places in this building with just a few keys. It's called being the pastor with a master key. And in fact, my own car doesn't operate with a key. I have a little fob that I carry in my pocket, and if I have it with me, all I have to do is press a button and it starts. And of course, going hand in hand with keys are locks. Locks give us a sense of security. We put criminals in lockup and sometimes in lockdown if there's a riot at the jail. We put important documents into a lockbox. We padlock a gate to keep people out, or in some cases to keep people and animals in. And I don't know about you, but I feel a little bit insecure these days when I go to the airport and I can't lock my luggage anymore. But I think keys are a lot more important than locks, because keys provide us that sense of openness and accessibility. We all know how frustrating it is to lose an important key or to be locked out of our house, for example. And keys give people a sense of power and authority. Just ask any sophomore in high school about the importance of a car key. And keys can be symbolic as well. Civic authorities give important people keys to the city. An inquisitive mind is the key to knowledge. And education is the key to success. And I think that's important for us to reflect on this weekend, as schools across the metro area opened up again this last week. An education that prepares one only to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a carpenter or a plumber, as important as those things are, it's an incomplete education. Formation in the faith is a primary element of our education. Education is meant to open the door of knowledge to ourselves and knowledge of God. Jesus addresses that. First of all, who am I? Who am I in relationship to myself? Who am I in relationship to the environment that surrounds me? To the people that I deal with? And secondly, and probably even more important, is who am I in relationship to God? An education that does not lead us to answer those questions is a poor education. As Jesus comes to the disciples in the gospel this morning, he asks those questions. And it's possible to respond with the things that we have learned from other people. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks. And the disciples respond with what they've heard out there from their friends and the people they deal with. Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or another one of the prophets. But it's more important for us to respond with what we have experienced. And so he says, but who do you say that I am? It's not good enough to learn about what other people say. It's important for us to actually experience Christ in our lives. Peter knew Christ, not just about him. And he had unlocked the secret of faith. And because he had the key of knowledge, he was entrusted with the keys to the kingdom of God. A person educated in the ways of God speaks with the strength of faith. And the authority that comes from God is not the authority of political domination or military power or even economic might. It's a moral authority that seeks to listen, to serve, and to connect with people. To be in solidarity with the poor and the powerless. To be brave enough to act nonviolently. To speak up with courage for justice. That's who Jesus is. And that is who the one who knows Jesus will be. So how do you know Jesus? Who do you say that he is? We haven't fully lived until we answer that question.